and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Praise God. Okay. So we're beginning with those first three verses, 11 through 13. Wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision. So, first thing that I want to talk about tonight is discussing what a Gentile is. And I know what that is. Do we really? What is a Gentile? Don't be shy. Heathen, a person without God. Just a heathen. Anybody else?
Not a Jew.
Not a Jew. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's where it started. That word Gentile started off, for our sisters over here, as a description of someone who was not a Jew. That's where it started. But over time, over the course of time, it began to have a negative association. Heathen, right? Anyone who is outside of the covenant of God is what a Gentile is. Anyone outside the covenant of God, that is what a Gentile is. I want that to sit on us, because we can say heathen, we can say someone who's not a Jew, but really what it is someone, anyone who was outside the covenant of God. So those of us who are believers in here, are we necessarily Gentiles? That's where we're going tonight. That's what we're talking about tonight. Okay. So BibleStudyTools.com makes this interesting statement, okay? It says that, of course, it gives the Hebrew word, which is goyim, if that matters to you, but meaning in general, all nations except the Jews, okay? And in the course of time, as the Jews began more and more to pride themselves on their peculiar privileges, the word acquired unpleasant associations and was used as a term of contempt. Now, those of us who are here in the U.S., we know a little bit about negative word associations, right? And people will usually use a word to negatively associate a characteristic or likeness to people they don't like, they don't care for, they don't want to be around. So they use different words to describe them. I read between the lines. Okay. So it was with this word Gentile. Okay. But again, generally it is a person outside the covenant of God. And I want that to sit on your side burners for a minute. Just be right here in your mind as we're going on tonight. So the Apostle Paul made it clear in these verses that as Gentiles, right, before we were saved, we were once separated from God, we walked in the flesh, we were rejected and criticized, we had no knowledge of God's promises and no share in them, and we had no hope and were in the world without God. I don't know about anybody else, but especially, specifically these last 6 months, I have wondered, what in the world do people do who don't know Jesus? I'm serious, like, what in the world do they do? It seems like it would just be a hopeless life. I just don't understand how they can do it. But these things that Apostle Paul says here in Ephesians 2 sums up the life of a Gentile, someone who was outside the covenant of God. So I really wanted to make sure we understood what that was. But another way to describe the Jewish people, apart from that term, they use this word a lot, uncircumcision, right? Because they said they were the circumcision and everyone else was uncircumcised. So I want to talk about what God says about circumcision and what the purpose was in his mind, okay? Genesis 17, because there was a specific purpose he had in mind when he established this. Genesis 17, verses 11 through 14. I'm going to read that from the Amplified. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign, the symbol, or memorial of a covenant between me and you. Every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations, including a servant, whether born in the house or one who is purchased with your money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who was born in your house or one who was purchased with your money must be circumcised. And the sign of my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the male who is not circumcised in the flesh, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now, he was talking to Abraham. I forgot to mention that. In these passages, scriptures, God was letting Abraham know, this is going to be a sign of my covenant with you and with your descendants. Every male child born on the 8th day, you have to go to present the baby to the priest, and he's going to be circumcised. And that is going to be a sign in your flesh that you are my people and that you are in covenant with me. So, what was the purpose of circumcision? To show that you were in covenant with God. It wasn't to show that you were better than anybody else, that you were smarter than anybody else, that you were superior to anybody else. The purpose that God put forth to Abraham was that this was to show that you are in covenant with me. So, now, Bishop, I was wondering why God chose something that only impacted men, because circumcision don't impact us, sisters. It doesn't impact us. Right? But then I thought about childbirth, and then I thought, well, maybe God just figured women have it bad enough. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't know. And what I'm about to throw out here, and if Bishop has something to add to this, I would really appreciate if he would. But so this is not necessarily revelation, but just as I sat and pondered it, wondering why, why God would choose something that doesn't directly impact a woman, and that this is what came to me, that any woman at this time would have been under the spiritual authority of her father, right, until she was married, and then when she's married, then of course she and her husband become one. So that's what came to me as I pondered it. Okay, God, that would do it. Right? Because if she then has become one with her husband, she will be a partaker of his obedience. Yeah. Is that all right? Yeah. Okay. Oh, man, I'm telling y'all, that whole marriage thing, that coming, that one thing, that thing is serious. That thing is serious. So she would be able to be a partaker of his obedience just through that marriage relationship. Praise God. So let's go back. So we know that Jesus first appeared unto the Jews, right? He was first sent into his own people. Many of them rejected him, but a lot of them accepted him and were saved. But as the gospel spread more and more, Gentiles, right, people outside the covenant, began to be converted. Do you remember this? Throughout Acts and all of those books. And the believers who were born Jews and had kept the law of the circumcision got upset that the Gentiles, the people who were not born Jewish, were getting saved and were not being circumcised. So you have the church of Jerusalem over here wondering why the church over at Ephesus were not being circumcised. And they had problem. They had a problem with that. They had a problem with that. And as I was researching things on this, I found some very interesting things. That soon after Christianity became a legal religion, it became illegal for Christians to be circumcised in an attempt to separate Judaism and Christianity. So I guess it was legalized around the fourth century. And they were so bent on separating the two, right? Because in some of their minds, it was like heresy to think that you could be Jewish and Christian. Although all the early believers were born Jewish, right? But they were so bent on dividing and separating, they made it illegal for Christians to be circumcised. How wild is that? Now, to the point that they would tell Jewish people that they weren't even allowed to circumcise their servants. And that goes explicitly against what we just read in Genesis 17. He said, you and whoever's in your house. So we see then how things creep in already, going in to go against what God had already commanded them. So if you think the debate of the circumcision was just for the early church, I found this to be very interesting. In just 2012, Germany passed a law that parents were not allowed to circumcise their children because it violated the child's right to bodily integrity. So people in Germany can't do that for that reason. So apparently, through the dawn of time, right, down through the ages, this thing has been a hotly debated thing. But why? Because God instituted it as a symbol of his covenant. That's the only reason. And the enemy is not trying to let anything like that slide. I want us to really get that. If you see something being hotly contested, don't look at it at the surface. Don't look at it on the surface. I want us to look under the surface, like what is really going on here? And 9 times out of 10, the enemy is just trying to do something to throw a wrench in something that the Lord has set forth. Yeah. So the Apostle Paul tried to explain over and over and over that the physical act of circumcision did not secure salvation. Because that was the problem. They were like, to be saved, you're going to have to be circumcised. That's what the Jewish believers were telling the Gentile believers. First of all, and we're going to try to keep this as all right as we can, telling a grown man that he's going to have to be circumcised is kind of a problem. Yeah. I'm not a man, Mother, but I think that might be a problem, Brother Bill. Come on, Sister Shetty. You know you're telling the truth. There was no... She said back then it would be a problem because there was no anesthesia. Nothing to deaden the... What is it called? General anesthesia? None of that. So to tell a full grown man... Now, I'm glad that you just received Jesus, brother, but now we need to take you in the back. Do a little something with you. That wasn't quite going to go over well. I'm not saying that that's why Paul emphasized that, but hey, he's a man. But he emphasized to them, he tried through the scriptures to let them know doing that does not mean you're saved. That does not mean that you are saved. Now, I'm going to go really hard on these because y'all know me. In Romans chapter 2, now, I really want you, I put the, I think I did, I put the note on your sheet, verse 14 through 29, I hope. But if not, we really should read all of those, but for the sake of time, we're only going to read 14 through 16 and then 25 through 29. But really, on your own time, read that all those verses, all 15 of those verses. But at verse 14, when Gentiles who do not have the law, since it was given only to the Jews, do instinctively the things the law requires, guided only by their conscience, they are a law to themselves, though they do not have the law. They show that the essential requirements of the law are written in their hearts and their conscience, their sense of right and wrong, their moral choices, bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or perhaps defending them on that day when, as my gospel proclaims, God will judge the secrets, all the hidden thoughts and concealed sins of men through Christ Jesus. Jumping down to verse 25. Circumcision, the sign of the covenant of Abraham, is indeed of value if you practice the law, but if you habitually break the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. It is meaningless in God's sight. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded by God as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the spirit of the law will judge you who, even though you have written the code in circumcision, break the law. For he is not a real Jew who is only one outwardly, nor is true circumcision something external and physical. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and true circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the fulfillment of the letter of the law. His praise is not from men, but from God. Does that make sense? So somebody tell me what they think the Apostle Paul was telling us here in these verses. Put it in your own words.
Not by act. Mm-hmm. But how you believe and what you do.
Yes.
How you minister.
Take the mask up so we can hear.
It's not by your acts, not by your action and the thing that you physically do. Because what this is saying that, you know, makes the person uncircumcised, if they keep the law, if they don't keep the law, they have circumcision. So.
Yeah.
And the flip side of that, if you're not been circumcised, if you keep the law, then.
Yes. Yes.
You obey God, what God wants you to do.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. So then when you talk about the law that was created in Germany.
Come on.
So that even though they were by man's law stated that they couldn't be circumcised, they were still, if you believe in your heart, you're still Christian.
Yep.
So
yep.
Regardless if you have circumcision or not,
mm-hmm.
the covenant is actually in your heart.
Yes.
Not in the physical.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Whether a person is born a Jew or some other nationality, whether they are circumcised or not circumcised, if a person honors and keeps the commandments of God in their heart, they are the one who is truly in covenant with God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, let me go. Now, we're going to go right here. Because commands, right, go beyond the Ten Commandments. Okay. Do you obey when God speaks, period, right? Because I know that we get really excited about not being, quote, under the law, and that's great, and that's good, and that's all the way right, but it does not mean that we are relieved from being obedient. Yeah, we're not under, quote, unquote, the law, as in if you do something that you're not supposed to, God is going to, you know, wreck your world. But you are still required to be obedient.
Yes.
Whatever that command is, He told you to give a certain amount of money that you was trying to hold on to. And I really don't want to give it, Lord. Right? He told you to cut off that friendship or that relationship because they're not good for you, but you still. Right? So whatever the command is, y'all know how I feel. This is an everyday thing. This is not just quote unquote spiritual stuff. This is everyday life. How we live our everyday life is a testament to the Lord's leading in our life. Amen. So we are still required to be obedient. Now, I said all of that to get to this thing right here. The thing that I see with this argument of circumcision versus uncircumcision is that it was a point of division in the body. It was a point of division in the body. The enemy doesn't care what he uses. He don't care what he uses. Race, gender, economics, nationality, age, hair color, eye color, foot size, shoe size, whatever he can, he will use to drive division. Why? Because he knows that true unity in the body will completely wreck his kingdom. It will completely and utterly destroy his kingdom if true unity by love was in the body. Man. So what does he do? I don't care what it is. I don't like the carpet color. So you have 6 months of meetings over the carpet color. I don't like the choir wearing robes. So you have another. He don't care what he uses. He will use it. That's why I'm so adamant about us understanding if we give our members, what are our members? The parts of our bodies, our mouths, our minds. If we allow the enemy to come in and whisper stuff, remember, the only power he has is the power of suggestion. He's suggesting it to you long enough until you open your mouth and put it out there. So if we can just say, no, I really don't like that carpet color, but hey, all right, let's go with, hey, humble yourself. If we could just humble ourselves sometimes, we could eliminate a lot of problems and cut the enemy off at his knees. Cut it off at his knees. So, he tries his best to sow discord, to sow division, because he knows that if the people speak the same thing and have the same mind, they can accomplish anything. That's what God said in Genesis 11. Do we remember that story? They were building the tower, the Tower of Babel, and the Lord himself came down and looked at what they were doing. And he had a conversation with himself. And he said, now look at here. Now I tell you, if we don't stop this, they are going to accomplish what they have set in their hearts to do. That's when he created all the languages. Spanish and Russian and Mandarin and Portuguese. And everybody had to be scattered out throughout the world. Because if people are on one accord about evil, they're going to accomplish evil. But if people are on one accord about the things of God, we are going to see God do some things in our midst. And the enemy knows that. So he tries to keep us distracted with, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to use this word, stupid stuff. Yeah. That's what it is, Mother Pat. He keeps us distracted. We spend 15 years on that stuff and the vision God gave Bishop. Still waiting.
Yeah.
I know it's tight. I know. I know.
It's right.
But it's right.
Yeah, right. The payoff of the mortgage.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely, Sister Shannon. So as long as we're stuck over here on distractions like the kittens with the balls of yarn,
yeah.
He continually dangling stuff. Look over here. We're not over here on the mission and the vision. And who gets his way at that point? It's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. Am I making sense? Okay. So circumcision was just another way the enemy wanted to plant division in the early church. Now let's go back to Ephesians 2. Oh, I'm good. Okay. For he, verse 14, Ephesians 2, 14, for he is our peace, talking about Jesus, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and them that were nigh. Some of your versions. Sister Shannon, do you have another version for verse 17?
Verse 17.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted. All along, that's what was on Jesus' mind. But the brothers and sisters in the early church did not understand God's plan. Even the disciples who walked with Jesus those 3.5 years did not understand that his plan all along was to reconcile the whole world, all the people, not just the Jewish people. That was never his intention, to only. Some people have it mistaken that since the Jews rejected Jesus, then he went to the Gentiles like we were a backup plan, but that was never it. He was always planning to include us. John 10:16, Jesus says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." One fold and one shepherd. So Jesus from then was letting his disciples know, hey, it's other people besides you. And I'm afraid what I am seeing, even in Christianity today, that we're taking on some of these similar thoughts. It's all about us. We could, like, forget about witnessing to people, forget about, you know, going out to the highways and byways. It's all about us and our church and what we're doing on our corner. Okay. But this was possible. Him bringing all of us along into the plan of God was possible because Jesus made the sacrifice. Now, he would have used his people as examples. If he had went to the Jews and they, oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Messiah. Yes, you're the one that we've been praying for 3,000 years. Yes, yes, yes. He would have used them as an example. Isaiah 60, verse 1, "Arise, my people, let your light shine for all the nations to see. For the glory of the Lord is streaming from you. Darkness as black as night shall cover all the peoples of the earth, but the glory of the Lord will shine from you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see the glory of the Lord upon you." So it would have been marvelous if they had received. Then the world would have saw, oh, this is what God will do with the nation that is their God. And they would, tell me, how can I be saved? How can I, have peace? How can I have joy? But that's not how it worked. So he came to us. So do you think that the plan is different? So now that we are the ones that saved, we are the ones whose light attracts people. I know many of you all in here have had this conversation. Somebody has said to you, I don't know what it is about you. There's just something about you. Someone who's not saved or someone who, you know, whatever, they can't put their finger on it, but they know there's something different about you. That's the light of God emanating from you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be billboards, signs for the Lord. So, Jesus told them, well, actually, the Apostle Paul told them, having abolished in Jesus' flesh the war, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for the making himself of two, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both God unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Jesus not only broke down the division between God and his people, but Jesus also broke down the barrier between all of God's people. Not only did God break down the barrier between him and us, but he broke down any barriers between us. Is that making sense? Does that make sense? So these divisions and, you know, our denominations, right? Divisions of, you know, whether or not a woman should preach, whether, you know, a young person should preach, whether, you know, a black person can preach, all of these different divisions. I just found joy in when I was studying for this, because I knew about the division between him and us. But when he said, no, Gina, keep reading. I've also broken the division between you. Is that good? So if you're a believer, right, and if you have repented of your sins and acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we have access to this, that we don't have to have, we don't have to tolerate the divisions between us. We can look at it and expose it for what it is, which is a device of the enemy to keep us separated. Why is he trying to keep us separated? We just said it a minute ago. Because he knows if we ever unite, if we ever come together, he can forget about it. I hope this is making sense, friends. I hope this is making sense. So, I think, so somebody said, well, if he destroyed it, then why is there still divisions? Because people who refuse to repent.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
People refuse to repent. People refuse to, I wouldn't be, The little time that we did go to church when I was a child, the pastor, he doesn't believe in women preachers. Lord Jesus, if he came in here, right? If he was here Sunday, oh Jesus. But if we refuse to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and then our hearts get hardened like Pharaoh's heart was hardened. All those plagues he witnessed, and his heart was still hard. So if our hearts are hard, we refuse to repent, we refuse to hear what thus saith the Lord, then yes, the enemy can use that person's life to keep the division in place.
Sister Regina, a lot of that is built off of traditions and doctrine.
Sure.
Like, yeah. That, yeah.
Yeah. But see, and that's my point, isn't it, Sister Carolyn, that this circumcision idea was based on a tradition. Now, it was based on, okay, God instituted it, but just like many, 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 many things we see, God says something, and we just start picking at it, putting it in our image, you know, and it's a whole nother thing centuries later. So based on that tradition, and like I said, the enemy don't care what he uses. He don't care that we're coming in here having Bible study.
Right.
He's not impressed with that.
Exactly.
What are we going to do after we leave here?
That's the key.
What are we going to do with it after? How is it going to change our life? How is it going to change how we treat people? How is it going to change how we witness to the people around us?
Sister Regina, please piggyback on that one.
Yes.
That's a good example in what you said, because on Sunday, when I got home, I don't really watch football. I would not sit down and watch a game.
Oh.
But I want to see, especially if it's someone that I like, if they're winning.
Oh.
That team's winning. Uh-huh. And so if they're winning, I'm like, okay, I'll change it. And I went home and I put the channel on that other station on that. And all of a sudden, on the sports channel, which is CBS and Fox, they start talking in Spanish. And I said, what the world? So I end up calling MediaCom. And so this guy, we were on the phone for 45 minutes. And Sister Regina, it was nothing but the grace of God. Because normally, I would not have been on the phone. I'd be like, sir, what is going on?
Wow.
And he said, push this button and push that button on your remote. And he asked me to unplug something. I said, please do not ask me to do that. I am not mechanically inclined like that. You want to have me mess up my TV, sir. I said, okay, are you asking me to unplug my surge protector box? Are you asking me to unplug something from the box? I said, I don't know. I don't want to miss things. But we were just laughing and giggling. And come to find out, he kept thanking me for helping him. Because I said, now do I need to push this button? But my point is with that, the message that you preached on Sunday, the secret weapon, and the main secret weapon was the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan thought that he had me.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to get me frustrated. He was going to get me upset.
Mm-hmm.
But honey child, I did not allow that
That's
to enter
right.
into my spirit, because
yes.
that message was still in
wow.
my spirit.
Wow.
And I said, nothing or no one is going to take that away from me, because I'm left with it, I went home with
mm-hmm.
it, I slept with it, and I thank God.
Praise
I
God.
Laugh about that
yeah.
because I thank God. I know God was keeping me calm. He was keeping me in the spirit. He was keeping me with that message on my mind.
Mm.
Because like you said, I didn't just leave here and go, I'm going to get mad. But I left here with that still in my spirit, and I praise God for that.
Amen,
I
amen.
God
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Sister Linda.
On the subject of tradition, I was looking for a church when we moved up here, and I found this church because of a friend. One day in Sunday school class, the substitute teacher, because the Sunday school teacher was supposed to be on, he's talking on speaking in tongues. And he was talking and starting to lead us in. I wasn't sure where he was going with it, but I was listening to what he was saying. All of a sudden, the Sunday school teacher happened to pop in. And he said, oh, he says, those tongue talkers just scare the devil out of me. Okay, that was the wrong thing to say.
Oh, yeah.
Because I said the Holy Spirit moves through us to speak that we don't have to take and speak through the devil or through the darkness. It goes directly up to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's what it's for. It is a strength that you have. And you didn't say anything, but next Sunday, the preacher got up and said, we don't believe in speaking in tongues.
Oh.
What do you mean to say? I didn't know that. Okay. it's just like tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, blocking off of the Holy Spirit we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like ignorance.
Yes.
In that sense, ignorance.
Yes.
To the Word of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To empower us,
yes.
To give us that communion with Christ. We don't have to go through any petitions to anybody.
Yep.
We
yep.
go directly to the throne
yep.
of God.
Yep.
And what we're speaking in our soul, the Holy Spirit is making the connection.
Yes.
And I think they've lost that. And I think the devil's really bothering me with this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, goodness, let's get
yeah.
Now, see, when you first said that, Sister Linda, that's exactly where my mind went. Like, that's what's supposed to happen. That's exactly what's supposed to happen, sir. Yeah. But just to piggyback on what you said, Sister Linda, that is so true. The ignorance part that you said. I know that's a strong word, but we all grown, well, Brooklyn is not quite there yet, but we all understand that we're not being mean or rude when we use that word. Ignorance. What does the scripture say? My people perish or destroy for a lack of knowledge. Yes. The fact that someone who was born again and refuses the gift of Holy Spirit boggles my mind.
Yeah. That could be
dangerous. It boggles my mind because there is so much benefit for your life when we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us. And so to say, it scares the devil out of me, and you not hear yourself. Why is the devil in you, sir? Why is the devil in you, sir? Number two, why do you not want him out of you, sir? So It is sometimes, unfortunately, it's ignorance because the enemy gets in there and twists things and makes it appear to be, oh, it's just woo, 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 woo. It's not that at all. It's not that at all. Yes, Sister Shannon.
And honestly, I mean, to piggyback off both of you, honestly, it wasn't until I moved here and joined Deliverance Temple that I even understood being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what I love about what God is doing with us is that we can be aware of that and not be judgmental about it.
Yes.
Right? Like, oh, that's what that is. Okay. All right. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray because last year I was like that. You know, 2 years ago I was like that. So I'm going to pray because it was one time I was 19. I was in the gospel choir at MSU at the time. It was SMSU. I can't sing, y'all, but I loved being in the gospel choir. So I'm in the gospel choir, and we were asked to sing it was then Washington Avenue. Y'all, this man started preaching, and for the first time in my life, my hands did like this, and I was like, what's going on? I told y'all where I grew up in church, right? So I was like, oh my God, I couldn't help it. Next thing I know, I was under the pew. My friend in the gospel choir, are you all right? No, completely ignorant, completely unaware of the moving of the Lord in that way. Yeah.
You know, how many people were sitting there?
Yeah.
And now then, we don't speak in tongues. We don't have to legally that part of the Bible out. And it's like,
Totally close the door. It's true, Sister Linda. we've all heard some things said that we wish were not said. For sure. Because it really hurts. Because we know better.
So we don't have to be judgmental.
Mm-hmm. But and I think my real point in making that statement is that because now we know the truth.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I don't have to take it personally.
Right.
I don't have to take it personally that someone doesn't agree with me.
Yeah.
Somebody that I love. It, to me, I'll never call you minister. Okay. I was born Regina. That's fine. What you want some ice cream? What you want? I mean, just because you won't don't mean God doesn't. So, but I don't have to wear that. I don't have to go to bed at night crying. I don't have to call Bishop. I don't have to do none of that. I'm free. Right? And let me tell you, the more we operate in that, people are going to be so attracted to that. They're going to be so attracted to that. I don't know what it is about you, but you just seem happy. And I know what you just went through. And how can... Let me tell you how. Let me tell you how. Okay. All right. All right. we didn't get through those other verses, but that's okay. So the things that I really, really wanted to hit tonight was that the enemy will use anything he can to drive division. And that was that's exactly what he was doing with the uncircumcision and the circumcision. But the Apostle Paul was trying to help them understand. That's what you were. Yes, you were separated. Yes, you were outside the covenant. But now that you have accepted Jesus, you are a part of the family of God. You have all the rights, privileges, benefits of being a part of the kingdom. And so in Colossians 1, 12 through 14, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be partakers. That means we have a hold of it. We can join in with it, of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. As we have been forgiven, we then we have been translated out of darkness. How fast is translation? It's like twinkling of an eye. Like, as soon as you believe, you in the kingdom of the dear Son. I don't have to, I'm not dwelling over there. I'm not lingering over there. I'm over here now. Praise God. And so we have been grafted in. Romans 11 tells us that. I think I put that on your notes. In Romans 11, the Apostle Paul talks about the Gentiles being grafted into the tree. We are now a part of the tree. Amen. We are adopted now. So a Gentile is a person who was outside the covenant of God. As Gentiles, people are separated from God. They have no knowledge or share in the promises of God, and they are in this world without God. And God's intention was to always include people from all nations in the blessing of salvation. It was always his plan. And Jesus made it possible to demolish all barriers between both God and man, and between brothers and sisters in the body as well. That's all I got. That's all I got. Bishop, do you want to say something? You've been quiet all night.
I was thinking,
Yes.
He would close this out because there was more than just circumcision. Remember, Paul, he was a Jew. He was circumcised. He was all about the law, Pharisee, all that. But he didn't have the understanding.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is Paul anew.
Mm-hmm.
Paul with the revelation that made him, he was persecuted. Same folk he's trying to get to.
Yes.
But he didn't know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Until he had a visitation from the Lord.
Yes, sir.
The Lord settled, well, the division because they didn't understand that the old was in the new concealed.
All right. Now.
The new was in the old revealed. Mm. They didn't know that. So they acted like what they knew.
Yes.
Peter, the Lord told him to go down to Joppa or where Cornelius was and you preach. That was, we can't do that. We're Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the Lord told him, God let a vision down to him, whatever. And when Peter got there, what God was trying to tell him is, the old is over. This is something new.
Yes,
this
sir.
This is a mystery that they didn't get. Paul didn't have it until God revealed it to him. Peter didn't have it until, because Peter was afraid to go down there.
Mm.
He didn't even visit Gentiles' homes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were different. Okay, the Lord said to Peter, you go preach to them Gentiles. And don't you call what I've cleansed common or unclean.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Don't I preach them. Peter preached, but God told him to put his seat on. And when he got up there and he preached, and Peter was convinced at that point, hey, I'm the believe the truth that God is of no respect for
yes.
Now, this is the same fellow that had a problem going down to the house, let alone preaching to him.
Yes.
That type of division has been in the church since the church existed because people just didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to, if you just leave it open again until maybe next Tuesday,
okay.
Next Wednesday, that we could talk about it some more because there's a lot in there that needs to be
okay.
Stirred up.
Yes, sir.
About, and you understand what the real problem was. It wasn't just circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that I'm a Christian, they didn't call themselves a Christian, but I don't have anything to do with you because I'm God's choice.
Mm-hmm.
God spoke to Abraham, and he was the only one. And God said, I'll make you the father of many nations. Well, like I said, just don't close it out right now.
Okay.
Stay open.
Okay.
Maybe the next Wednesday we can
okay.
Say some more about it.
Okay. Yes, sir. We sure will. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. Yes, Mother Aura.
I'm going to surgery.
Oh. Tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. We'll be praying, Mother Aura.
Yes. Please pray.
We will be praying.